This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up. Tyreek Smith. Yeah, I know we just talked about it with Jason Munns, but the news of the afternoon. Memphis basketball forward Tyreek Smith has officially left the team and entered the transfer portal. An athletic department spokesperson confirmed to the Commercial Appeal on Monday. Tigers are set to tip off against Missouri tonight, 7 p.m. You can see that on ESPN+. The statement to the Commercial Appeal from the school read as follows, quote, Tyreek informed the staff that he would like to explore other opportunities. We would like to thank Tyreek for his hard work and dedication while at the University of Memphis and wish him the best of luck. Munns continues that by opting to leave without playing in regular season games for Memphis, Smith gets the opportunity to transfer elsewhere and become eligible to play once the fall semester ends in December. So he obviously can't just transfer tomorrow and start playing. He'd have to finish the semester. Who was our K-State big last year? Same situation where even though he wasn't playing, but he wasn't eligible until the semester ended.
Big boy.
Yes.
I know who you're talking about. Really good.
So it's the same situation there. All right. I wanted to get your thoughts on this because again, without knowing all of the details, I kind of view it like this. I'm with Munns that they're now going to be thin in the front court. Like, you're losing some depth and experience. Like, there's no denying that. I just think that the way that this entire situation had been going, I tip my cap to Penny Hardaway. Go ahead and cut bait now. Like, I'm with Munns. Yes, the best situation could have been Tyreek's happy, you're happy, everybody's on the same page. It felt like that was going to be a big ask, and that to me, this is kind of a way of, you don't wish ill on the young man, you wish him well, but now you're not going to have to start juggling the situation from basically day one.
No, I deal with a lot of athletes, Jeffrey, and I'm going to be real.
And not only athletes, a lot of people around the athletes.
Yeah. So this is personal to me. And I'm going to be real. I'm an open guy, and I know sometimes I come across as really cool, Jeffrey, but I don't like dealing with a lot of drama or BS long term. I'm going to be real with you. So
it's like, if I can put up with it for, like, there's always the cost benefit analysis of, like, how long do I have to put up with this? It's like, all right, if I got to put up with it for a couple of tournaments, all right, so be it. But when you're having to, when you know it's literally day one of an entire season, that's a very different thing.
And I don't think people understand with sports, though, that it's just part of the nature. It do come with a lot more stuff off the court than you have to deal with. And people show up for games and enjoy the games. A lot of times, you don't know how much went in it just to get to this game or whatever. Yes. And so I say that to say, the way I'm thinking it play off, even though I wasn't there, but I didn't been around a lot of situations, it was one of them things that happened a few weeks ago, it felt like, or maybe shorter. It happened again. I'm with what you said. Even though they're going to be thin at that position, a lot of times in sports, though, if nobody else get hurt, less is more. You know what I'm saying? Yep. A lot of times in sports, you done seen teams only play 7 or 8 and make a deep run. And I do think eventually, you know, the staff or Penny or someone probably just said, man, I can't do this anymore. And it's kind of close to home to me a little bit because, you know, with that being a Boog kid, I do have a relationship with Boog. And so people do look at Boog in different lights. I worked with him years ago, and he do really try to help kids. Now, I can see now with the new era, and I don't know what's all going on with that. Maybe he has to take a different stance on it. But I feel like when you came back a week ago, whatever was agreed upon, man, if it wasn't satisfied by then, like you say, a perfect world, everybody could be happy. But it don't sound like this was getting to a perfect world.
No, and it's kind of why I keep coming back to it. It's like if you, whoever makes the decision, like, I don't really care. I think what I bottom line it as is the fact that you're not allowing this to continue, I think is a good thing, because I do think GM Penny has made Coach Penny's job difficult at times by trying to, I can handle this, I can smooth it over. Like, it's one of the common refrains I always hear, and I try to be sympathetic to it, but it's, you know, he's got a lot of fires to put out. And I, as I oftentimes tell people, I acknowledge that some of those fires he started.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, there are circumstances, and, you know, I do think it probably helps that we're talking about a depth guy, mm-hmm. a guy that clearly could help you, but we're not talking about your best player.
For sure. And you know, this has shown, if it's about NIL, I haven't,
if you made me guess, like, I'm never going to do that. It's not about NIL. My suspicion, it was more about role than it was NIL.
If it wasn't about NIL, because I haven't read deep, I've been on the radio since it came out, and Mons just gave us some really, really good information, and I don't have a laptop in front of me, because I was going to say, if it is about NIL, it has became a business, because unlike the NBA, a college guy, especially a guy in his last year, I couldn't see not wanting to still play basketball. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Now, if you got to wait, because it's his last year, and you got to wait until, so you're going to take a semester away. So whatever you standing for, you must either really believe it, or either in a good way, or you really believe it in a foolish way. Either way, you must, because the thing about college kids is you still want to play basketball. You know, you're a grown-up, but you're still kind of coming from, it's like if you could say you're in the middle of a grown-up and a teenager, and like you're a grown-up, but not, you know, then you got the real grown-ups. They have to pay bills and go to work. You know what I mean? And
yes.
So to not even, I mean, I didn't text over 30, 40 of my kids today in college, good luck. And they are fiery, Jeffrey. They so happy about the day. So I know how happy college kids is to play it, and to say, I'm not just going to play basketball today where it's like 53, 63 games and it's your potential last year. That's tough, because a lot of them still got love and passion for the game and want to play, you know, even outside the business.
It's why I also think in the end this was about role.
Okay.
Because, like, I do know that there are circumstances and there are examples, and I'm not denying this, where guys basically decide, hey, I can get a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It's just when you add up everything on this one, that doesn't really feel to me like that was the case here. What seems more likely to me, because of what we're going through, is imagine some variation of this. Maybe not every detail's correct, but we do know that Tyreek was largely recruited by Rick Stansberry, for those that are on. Which Rick? Stansberry. It's not unusual for Rick to make deals on the recruiting trail and say things. And Rick has always been known of, like, hey, I'll tell you what you want to hear to get you there. And then if I get there, and even if I said, yeah, you're going to start, and I realize you're not going to start, like, Rick's fine letting him walk. Like, he has a history of doing that. It's not really how Penny operates. So you could kind of talk me into that. He thought he was going to have a bigger role. It's not that he wasn't going to have a role, but I don't think his role was going to be the size of role that he was thinking. And therefore, all right, I will go I've got 1 year left. I will go somewhere where I'm going to start, play, and do all that. That makes the most sense to me.
And now that you said it, that dude, because it sounds like if it's about role, somebody had to tell him he was go guaranteed to start, it sounds like, because it sounded like he was going to be major in the role. So it sounds like it ain't just a role. Somebody has told him, you're going to start. But to Memphis, they have been practicing for months. So he didn't had chance to probably break into the starting lineup. And so either he see or the staff see that he wasn't starting. So I still think, and I don't like to say this, though, I still think it's still a bit of a prima donna role, because I'm going to tell you the thing about college sports. Even on my level, I never have ended the year with the same starting lineup that I started from game one. It's still a lot of
Penny definitely hasn't.
It's because you think about it, the first 5 and 10 years, it's still so much opportunity. So for you to, if you're saying it's about role, that means he just wanted it like, because he didn't play did he play North Carolina? He didn't play the Alabama game.
He played in the North Carolina game, but he didn't start.
How many minutes did he get? I hate asking you. I bet.
No. I'm
you're
not
a numbers guy. You like, no. You got to find it. You like, hold on.
I want to say it was 15, but I'm double checking for you. He played, and he played a decent amount, but he did not start.
Okay. So you think this is around the start.
Uh-huh. And I think in his mind, he looks and he sees the starting front court, and he thinks, well, I'm as good as that.
And most, and you should as an athlete, and most players think, I wonder, you know, another thing is not to get back to NIL. I hear NIL was pretty good. He's supposed to be getting, to have a backup getting 15 minutes and you getting that much NIL.
I mean, there is like some, hey, man, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
Let's see, the home box. All right, he played 15 minutes.
Yeah, you said.
And Jordan played 28. Kobe Rogers played 28. P.J. Haggerty played 34. Tyrese played 30. Dane Danger played 18. And then...
that's the game Moosa didn't even play, right?
Correct. And then Baraka Okoji played 16, and then Tyreek played 15.
You know why it's good for both parts? I was going to say this when we had Mons on. The thing about basketball, you know, for our listeners is it has become positionless and it's a lot of small ball.
Yeah.
So when he say thin, really four, unless you're a coach and know how to do it, is kind of considered too much, four or five. Three is what people usually do. You go have two and you're going to rotate one out and that fourth one don't play. You get what I mean?
Yes.
And so I don't think we're entirely super thin, though, because most people have two to three good ones and they rotate that odd guy out for breaks and foul trouble. So, you know, four can. Now, if he felt he was the fourth or fifth one, then, yeah, you can be getting in trouble, because if he only played 15 without Moosa, then, you know.
It's also, though, it's why I think this is best for Penny, because he has a habit of, if he has the option to play somebody, he usually exercises that option. And I think having fewer players is a better thing. Like, I know everyone goes, you can always use more talent. I'm not sure that that's proven to be true with Penny. Like, I think sometimes when he is given a limited menu, it's part of why, like, I honestly think his best pure in-game, in-season coaching job, and I get coaching's way more than just what happens during the 40 minutes of the game, but if we're just talking to what we saw on the floor and what he got out of it, I think his year one team was his best coaching job. And I think part of it, though, is because it's a roster he inherits and he's just trying to make it through the season. So he's trying to figure out, like, all right, back it up, give it to Martin, and, like, you know, like, just figuring it out. Whereas on a lot of the other rosters where he's either, in my opinion, had too many, like, duplicate type players or too many guys just in general, it's, hey, I made promises to them, I'm trying to do right by them. And it's just, I think when he was just given a roster and he was like, all right, here's, we just got to figure it out, and he didn't really consider all of the other noise that we're talking about, I think that's when he did his best job.
No, and I know this sounds cliche, less is more a lot of times, Jeff. A lot of time a person get hurt, knock on wood, you don't want it to happen, or somebody get in foul trouble, then you have to think less about, oh, I got to get this person in the game, and things flow better like that.
Yes.
It just do. And so you're right. I tell people all the time, sometimes Penny has, you know, played too many people or this, but, you know, from a recruit standpoint, I think it's a sale too because, yeah, people might feel, oh, he's messing up playing. But you know you're going to get an opportunity.
No, you will get a shot.
You know, so if I'm a recruit or a young recruit, I'm like, you know, that's in my favor. That's in my plus right there.
Let's go with Dak Prescott. All right, so we got the news today. Of course, Dak yesterday left the game with a hamstring injury. He was also caught on film. I don't know if you saw this.
Mm-hmm,
we effing stink or we effing suck. We get news today that Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott is expected to miss several weeks with a hamstring injury, a source told ESPN's Adam Schefter on Monday. Prescott is seeking a second opinion to confirm treatment options, the source told Schefter. Cowboys star wide receiver CeeDee Lamb, meanwhile, has a sprained AC joint that's in the shoulder, a source told Schefter. Though Lamb's shoulder is sore, the injury is not considered serious, and he's expected to have a chance to play against the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. Of course, this is always in addition to Micah Parsons, who is battling back from a high ankle sprain. A source told Schefter that Parsons, who has missed the previous four games with the injury, should be back against the Eagles. Well, I guess this is my question. What is his second opinion on a hamstring? Like, I have plenty of criticism about Dak. Him, like, milking injuries has never been one of them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I view he's part of Dak's, like, to me, like, the nice things I'd say about Dak is, like, Dak does everything you want your starting quarterback to do except be, like, great. Like, but in terms of being the face of your franchise, never embarrassing you, always, like, honestly, playing. I mean, the 1 year he doesn't play, is we literally had to see his ankle shattered in half. Like, that's what it took. But, like, what's a second opinion on a hamstring? Like, it's just it's soft tissue, right? Like,
you know what?
Can you do the turtle shot with a hammy?
They got all kind of stuff out here. I think second opinion. Only thing I'm guessing he hoping as a competitor that somebody else might say, well, with these few exercises, you could come back sooner. That's the only thing I'm hoping. I think that he hoping to happen because, yeah, he's a high-class guy. Now, he might not be great on the field outside. I don't see him milking it.
No, but it's like the only thing I can think of is like if it's torn, you don't do hamstring surgery, right? Isn't it just always like it's the old treatment and then you just when it starts to feel better, it feels better. But it's like to me, whenever I hear second opinion, that's usually somebody said, hey, man, we need a cut on this. And you're like, no, I do not want to cut. I don't want the surgery option. So you eventually go and you find the doctor that's like, yeah, we can do it with rehab and whatnot. But it's a hamstring to me. That's like a weird injury to sit there and go like, I want a second opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's why I say I think he's hoping that a doctor just tell the team that because several weeks also sound pretty long. But, you know, you have always heard this. You've been around sports, Jeffrey. Hamstrings are tricky.
Oh,
like some
people
say you can't put time in on them. They could come back in a week or two. They can be 7. You know what has gotten tricky, too? Not to change this. Ankles. Me and you not too far apart, but I remember when I was growing up, you can have the baddest ankle injury. You go home, you put in ice, you put in heat. Most guys will come back in 2-3 days. Over the last few years, ankle injuries last 2-3 weeks now, 2-3 months. You get what I'm saying? Like, I guess with more science now, we treat them as serious back in the day or whatever.
So, I agree with you completely because it's like we would turn our ankle. I felt like, someone turned his ankle every practice, like whatever the sport was. And then that's when we had the ace braces. Remember those? The ankle brace. Like, I don't feel like kids wear those anymore. Got to tell you, there was nothing better than when you lace those bad boys up. I think what now happens is what you and I consider ankle injuries, they don't even put it on the injury report. It's like, oh, yeah, we're just shooting that bad boy up. Like, you won't feel it. You won't even play with it. What I think happens now is anytime we hear of an ankle, it's always high ankle sprain. And what I think, because when we were growing up, high ankle sprain was like 2 months. Like, it was that was always the, He sprained his ankle. Was it a high ankle?
And, yeah.
And if you're at high ankle, you're like, oh boy, he's done. But now what it seems like is everybody has started, when you get the high ankle sprain, everybody's doing the tightrope surgery. And I remember, I don't know if they were the first to do it, but they certainly were the ones that popularized it. Alabama under Saban, like they were always the ones that would do the tightrope surgery. And then all of a sudden, guys started coming back from high ankle sprains in like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, what position you play kind of matters, but that changed the timeline significantly. So I'm with you. I think what happens now is just like when guys just sprain their ankle, they're like, as long as it's like whatever, like we'll shoot that bad boy up. Mm-hmm. You're not going to miss it. And so now, whenever we actually hear of ankle, it's the high ankle sprain.
But have you noticed, not especially in basketball, high school and college, you come back quicker, but simple stuff in the NBA, people sit out like a long time. Now, I don't know if they're being more cautious because of their body, but I mean, like, the same, like you say, in college, they try to figure out a way to get you back on the field or the court. It feel like the pros, especially NBA, is like, oh, he just go chill for the rest to Christmas. You know what I mean?
So, I mean, especially the team here. Like, all of a sudden, oh, my God, he's got an ingrown toenail.
Yeah.
Like, well, we'll evaluate him again in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So what I think it really comes down to is in the NBA, most of the guys are like $250 million investments.
Mm.
And so we've now gotten to the point where you think this is kind of backwards thinking. You would think the more I'm paying you, the more I'd want you to play. But now it's this weird reality of like, the more I'm paying you, the more important of a quote unquote asset you are. So therefore, I need to treat you with kid gloves and whatnot.
Yeah.
I've got to make sure you're healthy and whatnot. But it's like, it's counterintuitive. It's like, the more I'm paying you, the more I want you out there. Like, I would want it to be like ESPN. When you find someone at ESPN that makes like $10 million, they're on 48 shows.
Yeah.
It's like Greeny. It's like all of a sudden Greeny's picked up another show. And it's like, I didn't know we needed more Mike Greenberg. But like ESPN views it as, well, we're already paying him $12 million, so we've got to milk it for all it's worth. Whereas in the NBA now, it feels like everyone is just so overly cautious. And I get it. I guess I get it to a certain degree. It feels like the sport that is the most defined by the postseason has become the NBA. Like we, and maybe it's because like all of the legacy talk and whatnot, but it does feel like it's the one sport that we the most think about your postseason success. And so it's like everyone is overly cautious to try to get everyone back for the postseason. But I guess I'm always the guy that like raises my hand. It's like, we've been overly cautious, and it's not like we're getting to the playoffs and everybody's just good to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like, there is kind of, like, to me, it's almost like a, I know this is dumb, but I'm dumb, so I don't care. It's similar to me. It's like, you don't just go out and run a marathon. Like, well, I'll be fresh and whatnot. It's like, no, you train to run said marathon, and it just feels like now we've gotten so, we're so scared of the idea of somebody getting hurt. It's like, well, we've got to sideline him. I've talked to you about it with, like, I'm waiting for who's the number one player coming out. Who's like a high school senior? Who's the number one player?
AJ DeBar.
All right. So I'm waiting for somebody to be like, you know, AJ shouldn't play college next year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's going to hurt his potential.
Yeah.
It's like everything has just become about, like, some type of earning potential. It's like, y'all realize what we're paying them for, right? And on the flip side of this, it's like, okay, while we are paying college guys some, we're still not paying them as much as the coaches, but we're paying them some.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden, like, hey, there's incentive to like, all right, man, let's get you back out there.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
And in high school, it's usually just like everyone's just dumb enough. Like, I'm good. I'm
fine. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you're 17. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Like, but it is bizarre to me that we've now entered into this world where it's like, the more we pay you, the less we want to play you.
And Jeff, you just made a good point the way you broke that down, because coming into my head now, that's exactly what's going on. Because back, let's say even 10 years ago,
yep,
it could be a rookie or a guy that's making $40 million, and he could be outplaying a guy that's making $100 million. They wouldn't let them play more than him. Yes. You remember, because it was like, we paid this guy right here. This is the franchise.
I will say this. As much as I do not respect the Haslam family, you kind of got to give them credit. They did make us keep watching Deshaun Watson. Why? Well, we've paid him guaranteed money. Oh, yeah. He is out there. Like, by God, you're going to watch him.
You know how we treat it now that you the made? I was thinking about it as you was talking. We're treating, because we do this too, not comparing athletes to cars. But think about this, Jeffrey. If you're not a just crazy billionaire or nothing, and at the house right now, you have a Bentley and you have an Escalade.
Yep.
It sounds crazy because you should invest. You're probably going to drive your Escalade every day.
Yeah, because you're worried, like, if I get a scratch on the Bentley, like, probably, yeah.
You ain't going to drive it, but on weekends.
That's a good point.
You see what I'm saying? Or if it's a big event, you know, he's doing a black tie, you know. And that's how it's almost.
Well, it's also like, you know, if you've got the good bottle of wine versus the box of wine, if it's a Tuesday night, you're not opening up the good bottle.
No.
You're saving that for a special occasion. Like, you're only opening that up on a big night. Random Tuesday, here you go. Like, you can take a pull of the old bag of wine.
And speaking of liquor, somebody bought me this exclusive brown that was expensive for a housewarming, and I kept just buying another thing. When I read about how good, I didn't open it for over a year.
Yeah,
like, I just saw it
in the bag,
and I'm like, okay, now you can't touch this.
Yeah, you got it in Lucite. Yeah, like, you've got it. Like, ooh, I don't even know if I'm touching that. Like,
it was
like,
Christmas. I'm like, and my partner, he went straight for that. I said, maybe start with this.
No, I have the same thing. It's like when you have like the good bottle of liquor, it's like, why don't you try what's in the glass?
Yeah,
like, you know, like, it's in the carafe for a reason. Like, that's the everyday. That's now what we've decided to do with basketball players. All right, let's talk a little football. We will do that next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Herd. It was a good weekend for the teams that Herd roots for. You actually might have had a perfect weekend. Colorado gets a bye, but even though Colorado was on the bye, great weekend for the Buffaloes, because Iowa State drops a game, and now Kansas State, who they do have a head-to-head loss against, they picked up a second loss. So now we are at the point where, I believe this is correct, if Colorado were to win out, they would be in the Big 12 title game. I think maybe Iowa State can still have some argument. But right now, good spot for Colorado. The Canes heroically start the fourth quarter down, still cover a 3-touchdown spread with the fourth quarter. Unbelievable fourth quarter. Great job by Cam. And honestly, they could have tacked on another touchdown, but Cam was trying to get that 6-touchdown pass and didn't see the blitzer coming from behind him. Ball gets free, and they turn it over. But a good weekend for the Canes. The Titans hold on in overtime despite allowing Drake May to run around for 11.5 seconds before throwing a touchdown pass on the final play of regulation. I still don't understand why they didn't go for two. But they win in overtime. Also, in hindsight, I put this on Twitter. You can occasionally find a bet this game to end in a tie. That should have been, and you'll get like 11 or 12 to 1. That's a game that you should, like, Titans, the two-win Titans, or the one-win Titans versus the two-win Patriots, like, that game just had tie written all over it. And it was trending that way until May throws the interception with 2 minutes left. But the Titans get a win. You can see just how much the season's taken on Callahan. He was crying post-game about how bad the team needed to win. But the Titans get a win. The Niners were thankfully on the bye, because that's a team that needs to get healthy. We're hearing McCaffrey's returning to practice. Although, see if you agree with this. I'm going to believe he's playing when I see him playing right now. Like, I don't know. I've just gotten to that point with him where it's like, I know what a great player he is. So, like, if he does play, that puts the Niners in a different category for me. But it is almost like I'm now been jerked around so much with this. Like, I'm going to need to see him on the field first. But overall, pretty good weekend for your teams. This is the question, though, that I have for you. Do you think we nitpick Miami more than we're nitpicking other teams that are in their same caliber?
Yeah, I think people feel like, just prime example we was talking before, so I think people feel like Georgia, Texas, Ohio State, Oregon, maybe Alabama, but the first four.
I think Alabama's in a different tier. I think Alabama, I think, has actually wound up in the Miami territory where we've decided we don't think this Alabama team's good, so we're trying to, like, nitpick them. Mm-hmm. And I think Miami has kind of fallen into the same thing where it's like, I feel like we are looking at their warts, and let's be clear, their ability to give up an easy touchdown is second to none.
Yeah.
But it's not like everyone's just rolling out and having great performance after great performance. And so I do just find myself thinking we're being a little too harsh on Miami, and they're not getting credit for continuing to win. What I can't decide is if it's because people have decided this team's no good and they're trying to justify their takes, or if it's, well, they're in the ACC. We don't think the ACC's that good. But the only counterpoint I'd make to that is I felt like people were trying to hype up Clemson, and that the same things that we would use against Miami are not the arguments we'd use against Clemson. Well, it turns out like Clemson was beaten up on a bunch of bad teams. They finally played a good team this weekend, and the final score was nowhere near as close as the actual game was, or the final score was closer than the actual game was. It just feels like we've decided Miami's not as good as Oregon and Georgia. It's like, okay, fine, but I just feel like we are nitpicking them in ways that we're not nitpicking other teams.
No, you answered the question. I just think people doesn't feel like, even when I was finna name Alabama and some of them, they feel like if they were in the ACC, they would be killing it. And they feel like if Miami was in the Big Ten or the SEC, I almost feel like, you know, they just the disrespect they have for the ACC. And then even with that, you got some. First of all, I will say this. You know how we don't like the Cowboy fans or not? I don't know how we got this disruptive, but people really don't like us Hurricane fans. Every year we say, we back. It's people say they didn't know us then or whatever. But we are back this year or whatever. I mean, we're 9-0. And so with that being said, they also feel like the people who feel like they feel like in their head, they feel like we should have been and lost 3-4 games. That's how, but we won them. But
right. It's like, I guess that's been my argument. In this year that is getting defined by teams having head-scratching losses, why are we not crediting the team? Like, yes, Cam can occasionally throw a bad interception. It happens. He did the same. He had another one where he threw the Jeter pass, you know, where he was running out of bounds. He jumps up and throws it on the move. Like, he looked like Jeter at shortstop. And, yeah, it's a bad interception, but it's like in this year that is getting defined by people losing at a higher frequency, why are we not crediting the team that is not losing despite getting in situations and games they could lose?
Yeah, I think we deserve more respect. Now, credit, like I say, the VTech, the California, like, honestly, we have a championship offense. I'm going to be real with you.
I agree with this.
I think we have one of the better offenses. Statistic-wise, we have one of the better offenses in the last decade of college sports. Like, not saying number one, but, you know, our stats are phenomenal right now. They were saying as good as an offense since I forgot, but it was years. But I will say this, Jeff, I've been telling you this since week one, and it hadn't gotten better. Now, we do, when it's time, we'll make a big play. I have never seen so many big plays given up by a defense.
The explosives are a problem.
I never have. And so that's the only thing that scare me. But like you say, even with Cam Ward, like, you even got talking about the Heisman, it even get quiet. People still bring up the two boys at Colorado louder. People bring up the running back louder. And I don't understand why we have done everything we were supposed to do, why we're not fully getting that love. But we'll take it. We're going to keep on going on and on and go from there.
All right. Then the other thing I was thinking about yesterday, would you rather have the Lions make the Super Bowl or the Chiefs make the Super Bowl? I give you those two options.
You can only have one.
Right. You got to pick one, and you're picking which one you think is more likely to occur.
I kind of can't go against the Chiefs, to be as much as I know hate is a bad word, but they have broken my heart these last 6-7 years. But and I know the Lions, the real deal, but I'm just one of those guys, and I know you're more of a better than me. I know this new drink that's finna be good, but I probably just roll with Coca-Cola or Nike. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So if the question were to win the Super Bowl, I think the answer is I'd still rather have the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. But when I say it's to make the Super Bowl, it honestly is, it's partly how the Lions look, but it's also mainly I look around the NFC and I'm like, who do I even trust to match up with them? And I'm holding out. I'm reserving some judgment. Philly, as they've continued to get healthier, they've started to play better the last few weeks. And they're starting to look more like, I think, what people thought they were going to be coming into the season. They're playing more like that. But week in, week out, the team that I think has looked the best in the NFC in the non-Lions division is the Commanders.
Yeah, really.
But there's this holdup with, A, their defense isn't that great, and then it's the idea of, was a rookie quarterback really going to get to the Super Bowl? And it's like, I understand all that, but I'm just talking about watching them week in, week out. That is the team that I felt like has been the most consistent. You look at their two losses. Okay, they lose week one against the Bucs when they kind of hadn't really figured out, hey, man, this Daniels kid's special. Like, they hadn't quite gotten into the game-type situations where they realize it. And then they lose by one score to the Ravens. And it's like, well, there's no shame in those two losses, given, like, the Bucs at that point, I think, started 3-0, and then they were rolling. And the Ravens, I think nobody would say there's any shame in losing that game on the road. But I still think, like, if I'm putting all those teams up against the Lions, like, I think the Lions are just going to beat them. Because the Lions right now, okay, yes, you don't have Hutchinson rushing the passer, but stopping them offensively right now feels impossible because they can run it. And then on top of that, if you want to take away the run, that's fine. You got to go cover all their receivers. And Goff, for the fourth time this year, half of his games, he has hit his first 10 passes at least. And it's just like, and I guess if the Niners can, if the Niners get CMC back and he looks good, then that changes my opinion. But then you have this weird reality with the Niners where it's like, they're still kind of trailing in the division.
Yeah, no, no, you're right. Detroit looks very, very good. I just can't go against Pat Mahomes. You know, the only team in the NFC that looked, and you mentioned it to start off, that the coach has got fired. The first two, three games, I thought this is the craziest thing, and I know we getting on time, I ever seen before. The Saints looked it so remarkable the first two, three games. I don't think I have seen a turnaround like this. I mean, do you remember the first two, 3 weeks and people was like, holy smoke.
Like, I mean, they beat the Cowboys by like 100.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like, and then they just, and I don't think nobody got hurt. I don't remember.
They had some offensive linemen get hurt. Like that, okay, that was part of it. And then it turned out, we didn't realize, like, week one, the Panthers, and granted, the Panthers beat them yesterday, but the Panthers were really bad.
Yeah.
And it turns out the Cowboys might be bad.
Yeah.
But it was still, it's one thing for them to win those games by a couple of scores. They were just blowouts. I mean, I think they were like plus 100 point margin.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they was breaking records, and now they can barely do anything. It is wild.
All right, I was trying to look up game log. All right, so they win the first game 47-10, and then they won 44-19. So they literally were up 91-29 in the first 2 weeks. Then they lost a close game to Philly where Philly scored at the last drive of the game. And you're like, all right, no shame in that. Like, whatever. And then they lost a game in which they scored with like 45 seconds left to Atlanta, but they allowed Atlanta enough time to go down and get a field goal, and they lost at the buzzer there.
They're looking kind of good, too.
And then that's actually not a bad point. Yeah, Atlanta, Atlanta has – I still don't trust their defense, but I agree. Cousins has actually been very, very good. And then they had a close-ish loss to the Chiefs. Like, it was the classic, like, if Carr hits the pass on fourth down, like, the game is going to be weird, but the Chiefs are still better. I think the Chiefs' argument is, if you consider that they haven't looked good and they're still undefeated, do we really think that Patrick Mahomes is just going to have an off year? It's like, no, at some point he's probably going to figure it out and get it together. But they're just kind of like working through it, and they're still undefeated. I feel the argument for me is less of an anti-Chiefs argument. It's just I think there are more teams in the AFC that I go, I can envision the Chiefs losing that game. While I wouldn't pick it, I can see how it happens. Whereas right now, I'm really struggling to see like who beats the Lions. The only argument for the Lions is peaking too soon. Like, they're too good right now. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Herd, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, got to go to Hugh Freeze post-game. After the Auburn offense was getting booed during the game for only scoring 7 points, didn't hear it. Quote, didn't hear it. He didn't get caught up in that. Did not hear that. I'm sure that's the case entirely. All right, buddy, appreciate you always being in here. He is, of course, Norton Herd the Fourth. Want to thank Jason Munns for joining the program. If you miss anything, be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For Dennis, for Herd, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week, with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.